Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Fikes.
I'm Sarah Reynolds.
And I'm Wendy Papazian. The one thing we all have in common is time. We all only have 24 hours in a day. And for a lot of us, doing the home stuff isn't really our strength. As we're building our empire, sometimes those things get neglected. And we don't always have someone who's going to just pick up the ball and run with it. So you guys are going to love this episode. You're going to want to share it with a friend. You're going to want to listen to it more than once, because today we're going to give you our best tips to save time at home.
I love this topic.
Yeah, this is huge. For those of you that are building your empire, and maybe you haven't earned the right to have a home manager, right? Maybe you can't afford it yet. Maybe you don't have that assistant yet. Maybe you can't afford a housekeeper. Today, we're going to cover all the things. So we're going to cover finances, tips for finances. We're going to talk about best practices for cooking, which for a lot of us is huge, as it takes so much time, mostly thinking about it, health, organization, and this makes us sound a little bit like Betty Crocker, but general homemaking. So make sure you listen all the way to the end.
Are we going to talk about sewing?
Dusting. We're going to talk about smocking. We're going to the fastest way to make a doily for your tea party that's coming up.
Oh, excellent.
All right, and stick with us. Okay. I know some of you are thinking, because I would be like, oh, not what I'm listening to. I'm just kidding. These are some efficient ways. We all have the same time and we all live somewhere.
Yeah.
And we've got to eat. We've got to sleep. You know, all these things. So efficient ways to do it. So the first is we also have to pay with things. So let's dive into finances.
Yeah.
What are some tips on how to save time with finances?
Well, one of the things that I learned quickly is let your mail stack up and have a couple of days once a month that you touch your bills and touch them once and get them done. You could open your mail if you want to, but I would open it every time it came in and then I would deal with whatever it is. And that's not efficient. So you need to be touching your mail less, you know, like do your finances less every month. If you were like me,
batch your bill paying.
Yeah, bill paying, things like that. Like, I'm not saying let it go months, you're going to miss deadlines. But if you pay your bills twice a month,
once a year, that's all we're saying. Just pay your bills once a year.
Very efficient.
Only when they turn off the electricity do you pay your electric bill. But if you do it twice a month, it will take you almost the same time, only two times a month instead of two times a week, like I was doing. Whenever I got one bill, I would be opening it. I'd be getting out my bill pay. I'd be going to the site. Like, no. Let that stack up and have your bill pay block twice a month on your calendar and let it sit there and wait for you, because the less you touch it, the less time you spend on it.
And what you need to do is, so I just have this little wicker basket. It's actually got a lid on it. It's a square basket with a lid on it. And that's where you can just put all your bills while you're waiting for them to get paid. I know some people have little offices and things like that, but I actually open my mail. I throw it away. I just leave the bill in there. And then once a month, I know to like just open that up. And it also doubles as a quick storage caddy. If you've got people coming over, you can just like put a few things in there. It's a nice looking basket, just sits on your counter and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what we do in our house. So the bills go in a basket and we handle it the same way. And I've gotten it down to once a month that we're looking at bills, which is the same time. The other sort of tip is it's really critical that if you're married or have a partner that you are spending time talking about finances, and it actually saves time. This is a time hack, because when you don't get on the same page at least once a month, you're talking about money. At least for George and I, we spend more time arguing throughout the month that we would have saved that time had we have just come up with a game plan. Especially if there's a lot of like bigger financial things going on. Like right now, we're in a very big sort of personal financial season, it feels like, of just some projects that we're working on. And my 40th birthday, as George says, which is now like a whole budget.
A project.
Yeah, a project.
Yeah.
He's like, you have 8 birthday parties. I'm like, yes, I do. But getting on the same page about it, it has helped us. Like, he's teasing me about it, but we game planned it together. And so talking that through actually ends up saving time. It also saves peace of mind. which allows your brain to work on something else. And so George and I sit down once a month and we review finances, talk about anything that we're struggling with or any decisions that we need to make. And I highly, highly recommend it. That was a marriage saver for us.
Well, because I also think that finances is one of those things that can randomly have been assigned to you, or maybe you took it over at some point in your marriage. I know for me, I'm not really sure why I got the finance job.
Me too.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Like, I just took it over at some point and started paying the bills. Not that I'm better at finances or bill paying or even detail orientation than my husband, but it's just what Sarah is saying. You need to have that conversation once a month about your finances, because you probably got that job randomly.
Well, so in my family, I got that job randomly, or I mean, I liked it. I kind of liked handling all of that. And then as our life got bigger and bigger and the things that we were paying got bigger and bigger, the thriftiness of my personality actually made it to where I couldn't enjoy the things that we were doing when I was the one paying for them. And so we switched that, because I was like, I would enjoy this dinner a whole lot more if I didn't see the bill. I would enjoy this vacation a whole lot better. I want to know that it's on budget, but I just don't want to see the money leaving, because it feels different to me. And you don't have that reaction. And so we actually switched that to where I did it for years and years and years. And now Joshua does it. So I got us through the we don't have money phase. And now he handles the we have money so Tiffany can enjoy it phase.
That's a good tip.
Well, one of the things that's so interesting, and not to get off on too much of a tangent here, but what I think is really interesting about chores is that so many of the chores that we have. So if you're in a heterosexual relationship, right, you're married or you're in a partnership with someone who's a different sex than you, a lot of your chores fall along these gender norm lines. Men take out the garbage, women do the laundry, and there's no real reason for it. It's not like I can't lift a bag of garbage, or it's not like I need to have my feminine intuition in order to be able to do that laundry. But what I would recommend, and I've said this before, we should do this for our couples retreat, is to have a reset in terms of the chores, which is like based on my skill set, what I like to do, what I know about myself, what I know about you. Let's go back to the beginning when we took over all those chores super randomly or because our parents did them, and make it more equitable, because all the studies show that same-sex couples, their chores are actually a lot more equitable. Each partner does a similar amount of chores, because it's not like based on all these weird like gender norms that we have. So anyway, just my tip of the day for you.
Very good tip. So speaking of which, a big chore or a big thing to do is cooking. And I love that I got assigned the intro for this. I'm the co-host that, like, if I make my kids a sandwich, I feel like all my co-hosts should praise me. Good job making them a sandwich. No,
no, actually, you do post it in our Slack channel. And
yes, yes, I know. So, yeah. Words of affirmation. Please affirm me for doing this. I actually do enjoy cooking when it's a choice and when I have the time to do it. So every Saturday morning I cook for my family, but that's a choice of mine. But what are some tips and time savings for cooking? I'm just going to share my favorite, and then I'm going to let Wendy and Tiffany chime in here, but mainly Wendy. No, but my favorite is Instacart. And so grocery shopping when you need something.
I think your favorite is Vernice.
Yes, my favorite is Vernice.
Your house manager.
Yes, yes, she's amazing. And so she cooks every meal Monday through Friday for us, which is so helpful. But Instacart is critical. Like if you need something, instead of going to the grocery store, Instacart it. That's my favorite time-saving tip there.
When our kids were little, we did meal prep Sundays. And it was mostly the kids' food that we would prep. But it was like we were steaming all these vegetables and pureeing everything up that they were going to be eating for the week. And getting into that habit of, all right, 2 hours on Sunday and we don't have to touch thinking about food again. Because in our family, Joshua and I, neither of us love to cook. We cook because you have to eat healthy. It's definitely the chore that both people just feels like is a chore. And so if we can only touch food for a couple of hours, like thinking about it, preparing it, doing it, and then everything's just kind of in the fridge waiting for us, you can just heat it up. The salads are pre-made. All you have to do is throw the chicken on top of it, as opposed to, I hate this chore. The amount of time I spend thinking about how I didn't want to have to cook, but I have to cook, and what are we going to make and all that stuff, like that's all gone now when we spend 2 hours maybe three on Sunday, and then we're done for the week thinking about it.
We've done it since our kids were older, actually. Our kids were little. I was a stay-at-home mom, so I could just do all that. And I actually enjoyed cooking, so that wasn't a problem for me. But we do a lot of the same stuff. You don't have to be a gourmet chef and make something different for your family every night. So on Sundays, we generally cook up a big pot of pasta and we'll put pesto on it and we'll just have pesto pasta. So my teenagers can go in there and if they want to grab lunch or if, you know, they didn't have enough for dinner, they can have that. We usually will get some ground turkey and we have turkey tacos one night a week. And then we'll usually just grill out a whole mess of chicken or steak for lunches. And then we'll just grill broccoli at the same time. So that's kind of the core of it. And I'll probably cook dinner another night of the week. You know, we'll go out for date night, whatever that looks like. But just having even like not 100% of the food, but maybe like 65% of the food ready for the week just helps a ton.
I think too, having themes helps with like brain space, right? So like Taco Tuesday. And so you don't have to think about it. I saw some funny meme that's going around social media that's like, marriage is just committing who you're going to ask every day, what do you want for dinner? Or something. It was funnier than how I said it, but yeah, it's true. Like, right? What do you want for dinner? Like every night having that conversation. Think about the time that takes, the brain power that takes. I mean, all of these things prevent decision fatigue. And we did an episode on that a few months ago, and we'll put that in the show notes. But like these kind of decisions that you have to make, if you can eliminate having to make decisions, so having that pesto pasta in the fridge, having themes each night helps so much with time, saving time.
And we use a list app. So we just have one app in our phone that the whole family uses, and we have different categories on it. So we have our Target list. So anytime I'm like, oh, I need this at Target, I'll just put that on the list. Before I was working, I'd go to Target like 2 to 3 times a week sometimes. And now we just know exactly. And then if you have an assistant, they can either do that for you or they can add things to the list. And the next person going can just do all that. So we have Target, we have groceries. We've actually got tons of lists on there. We've got experiences we want to try. We want new restaurants we want to try in town because Austin has, you know, a gazillion new restaurants every week, whatever those categories are. And then you just share them with other people in their family and they can add to it as well.
So. Is it literally called List App?
It's called To-Do.
To-Do. Okay. That's cool. I need to do that. I've heard you share that before and we need that.
Yeah. Right, so we have groceries, Target. We've got Better Ranch shopping, experiences, Random House stuff.
That's awesome.
Which this leads right into the next one. An ounce of planning. Your lists are exactly that thing, like having somewhere that you're brain dumping all of your planning so that when it's time to say, hey, we want to go on a vacation, you don't have to then start thinking, where did we want to go? What was that? So I love that. What are our planning tips?
I think the biggest thing for us was, you know, Wendy and Jay put together the couples goal setting retreat. It's every fall. And that has been such an important thing for George and I, because it's a couple days that we take aside, just us away from the kids, for planning, for talking things through, for what vacations do we want to do next year? What are some things that we want to do with our parents? Like planning out the year together. And I just think before we just were operating like so wishy-washy of like what we were doing. And so we had no time to talk about it, to plan. So they're not paying me one dime for saying this. If this is resonating with you, like I'm so passionate about the One Thing Couples Goal Setting Retreat. It has really helped George and I with planning, and it saves so much time. And also there's no arguments because we have the plan and we already talked it through.
Well, we felt so strongly about it that we actually made this a part of our Empire Circle through Her Best Life. So now, if you are a member of the Empire Circle, the goal setting retreat is actually one of the trips that you get to take and one of the benefits for joining Empire Circle.
Yeah, it's included.
Yes, it's included. Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of date night. You know, date night is where you fall back in love with your husband or your wife or your whatever partner. And we always go on Wednesdays. I know, I think, Sarah, your date night's Thursdays.
Yep.
I don't know if Stephanie, you have a date night?
Mine was Thursdays.
Thursdays, yeah. We've actually kind of gotten out of it now that our kids are older. I hate to say that. We're trying to get back into it. It's really easy to fall out of that habit, even though it's been a habit for the last 20 years. Like, that seems insane. And that's how humans are. So definitely take that date night on Wednesdays. It's a lot easier to get a babysitter. You can get back on the same page. You can actually have a discussion on finance or planning or whatever while you're, you know, having your fun too. So
Well, and a hack that we used for that is like we hired a babysitter that would show up at our house every Thursday. Like it was her like her Chick-fil-A shift, except it was the Fikes babysitting shift. Because I realized the time and energy it takes to find a babysitter, book a babysitter, it's so much work. So it was so much easier to just be like, please be at my house at 6 o'clock every Thursday. And some weeks we would literally just like go to a park. Like, I mean, sometimes we'd go grocery shopping for silly things that we wanted just to like do something fun if we didn't have something, but we knew somebody was always coming to our house and always that stress of how are we going to do it was gone because we didn't have family. We didn't live near family. Babysitters were a big hassle. So I took that out of the way. And to your point, Wendy, we've actually found that we've kind of fallen out of the habit too. And I think the babysitter was the accountability. She was showing up. And so then we were exiting the home and now we can talk ourselves out of it. So we need to figure out how to get ourselves back into that accountability. But book that babysitter. They will treat it just like a job. I mean, we had three babysitters over however many years that until they graduated high school would come every Thursday.
So good.
I do want you guys to pick back up the habit. And I think as your kids get older, when you have young, young babies, like you literally are barely talking to each other, ever.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you don't have this, like you are not having a conversation like about anything really, like without the kids bothering you or on you, you know? And so like, as the kids get older, you have more time.
Yeah. Well, we're sitting on the couch when we come home and it's like, how was your day? Yeah. Yeah. It's very different.
Yeah. And when you have young babies, you're not sitting on the couch talking about how your day was. You're fighting them to eat their vegetables, brush their teeth, and get them into bed, you know? And so it's like,
yeah,
you're probably getting quality time in other ways right now.
Yeah.
And so, yes, date night's important. And especially our young mama empire builders, get that babysitter scheduled because it's so, so important.
Yes. And we're just talking about scheduling your appointments in advance. So not only should you do that with your babysitter, you should be doing that with your hairdresser, your dentist, your mammogram, your doctor's appointments, whatever that looks like.
Yes.
Every time you go, you just schedule the next one at the office.
Yeah. Do not leave.
Do not leave. Yeah. Just get that on your calendar so that when the next year rolls around, you can actually do that. I can remember during COVID, the only thing I really did like during those first few months of COVID was I had a skin screening because I had like a little bit of like skin cancer on my face. And it was super weird because it was the early days of COVID. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to die from skin cancer. I'm like, I might die from COVID, but I might die from skin cancer too. And that's because I'd had it, you know, scheduled 6 months in advance. And I just remember thinking like, yeah, this is important to me, you know?
One of the things that Joshua and I always do is we look at our calendars together once a week to stop the fights of, I thought you were going to get the kids, or I thought you were going to do this, or, you know, like who's doing what this week? Where is everybody going to be this week?
Yes.
In 1 hour, we really can blow through both people's calendars. What are the holes? It's where we find the, oh, shoot, I thought you had the kids and you thought I had the kids. So how are the kids getting to school? And you can find, get ahead of those little issues that come up. So a little bit of planning at once a week help fights from happening if you are in a partnership. Any other planning hacks?
You know, some people set their clothes out the night before. I don't do that. Jay does. I think it's cute.
Does he really like set them out?
He does. Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. George does something similar and our kids do it. It dawned on me the other day, like, oh, he's training all of them to do that. Now, his number one strength is maximizer and he runs our household mainly maximizing all these things. It is cute, like literally setting them out. This is what I'm going to wear tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think for me, I am a morning person. I have a lot of mental acuity and sharpness in the morning right when it happens right when I wake up. Like I'm awake and I can go. And so I don't have to do some of that stuff. But for some of you that you're not morning people, all those decisions that you have to make in the morning are a struggle. Like, yeah, do it the night before when you're fresh.
I mean, like I can wake up and my acumen is right there, but that's a decision I hate to make. Mm. And so like make that the night before so that you're not starting again with got to cook food and pick out clothes and like, rah, rah, rah. Like get that out of the way. Like make those decisions ahead of time. Try to be less grumpy in the morning, regardless of
first world problems.
It is.
Well, and then we've got our general home management efficiency tips. This is a no-brainer. Limit the number of activities your kids are involved in. Okay, focusing on one thing is better anyway.
And it sounds easy, but the world is not set up for you to do this.
No.
Nothing about what other people are doing is going to make you feel like you're winning by doing this.
Yeah, you need to have your own standards about your family and what is important to you. Like, I was like, I want my kids to be able to do chores. I want to be able to have dinner with my family every night. And then there are so many families out there that all they do is they literally never spend time together as a family. They're just driving their kids from sport to sport. And you don't have to do that. The world is conspiring to have you do that, but you really don't have to do it. I've always been a big believer in sleep for my kids. And I remember a lot of neighborhood moms had enrolled their kids in baseball at a really young age. And in baseball, the kids stay up really late. These kids are coming home at 9:30 at night. And then they're trying to do their homework after that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, if that's what you want, that is fine. I'm not here to preach, but like, that's not fine with me. And so like, let's find another sport or activity that aligns with our family and our values.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Wendy, because we're newer at like all three kids having activities. And this last year about killed us. Like half the time, I didn't know where each kid was. And when you've got three, one's doing this and one's doing that. And, you know, we sort of came to the decision that each kid gets like a season, basically. Like they get to pick what sport. And then when we sat them down to talk to them about it, we said, we also need to be supporting one another in whatever they're choosing. So then it's not like, oh, Olivia, you're at volleyball while Lincoln's at T-ball. You guys never see each other or have a relationship.
Yeah.
But like, we're going to go to Olivia's volleyball games and he's going to learn how to support his sister and cheer her on because it's Olivia's volleyball season. And so there's no other season sort of going on. And I know it's hard, like when you've got the multiples. And I always know when it was a good decision, when I can feel the stress sort of come out of my body with the decision. And when George and I sort of made that decision, like they get to pick a season. They cannot have an activity every single season. I want to give all of our listeners permission to set that standard because family does matter. Yes, friends and a team matters and learning that matters, but family is critical. It is really the foundation of most of our communities. Like I want to encourage you to put your family first and make some decisions along with what Wendy shared.
I love this one. Don't buy a lot of stuff. The more stuff you have, the harder it is to keep things tidy and organized. I don't know who said that, but this is so true. I mean, I'm the mom when the kids come home from the birthday parties with all of that like crap. And I'm also the mom that never gave away that crap, but I just swept it right into the garbage can. I'm like, you're not going to need this. You're never going to play with it again. I'm just going to get rid of it. And in that moment, decluttering when you can creates this lack of overwhelm. I think a lot of people who have really big houses, I've been in some of those playrooms and it's overwhelming. It's overwhelming for the kids too. And what are you teaching them?
Well, and you can think about that also like with laundry. Like basically you can think about that. Take what Wendy just said about overwhelm into all the parts of your home management. When your dishes stack up and up and up in the sink, that feels overwhelming to you, even if it's like more efficient sometimes to let things stack up. Like the mail can stack up as long as you have a little place for it. But the laundry, when you've just got piles and piles of clean laundry that just haven't been folded yet, that's overwhelm. That's what your body is reacting to when you see it. And so some things you need to just touch once. When you're pulling things out of the laundry, stand there and fold it immediately, sort it, get it where it's going. Don't let it build up. Even if that might be more efficient for time, your mental state of feeling overwhelmed by the things in your life build up when you see piles around you. So if it is your clothes that you can't get rid of, like maybe you can't have less clothes because you need clothes.
But I mean, I would just push back because like if you have 9 weeks of clean socks in your drawers, like you've got the space for 9 weeks worth of socks, then you're not going to necessarily want to fold and put those socks away because you know you've got other ones. So there is something to be said for saying like, you know what, I've got a week's worth of socks. That's it. I'm going to have to do laundry. I'm going to have to fold it. I'm going to have to put it away. So
my tip on this is put your kids to work. For time savings too.
Yes.
You know, this is something I would love for my husband to listen to this part of the episode because he likes stuff. So do I. I mean, we both struggle in this area. But I think putting your kids to work is critical. Like I'm the one that's like, our kids should be putting away the laundry. We had an issue with our house manager putting my clothes in Caitlin and Olivia's closet and vice versa. And they couldn't come up with a system. And I'm like, why aren't the kids? They know their clothes. Like, they need to be putting them away, right? Mm-hmm. At a young age, my mom taught me to work. Like, you're part of the household at a very young age. You're going to work. Like, you're going to have chores. You're going to have, and a lot of times we feel like as parents, it's up to us to do all the things. Well, it's not up to you when you have children. It's teaching them very important life skills to have them help. It's also teaching them work ethic and that they are part of the household. So they need to work as part of the household. And so I just want to encourage you, some of these things can be done by your kids at an even younger age than maybe you realize.
Love that.
Well, guys, I think we got some good time-saving hacks for household. I don't know if this was our jam necessarily, but time-saving is definitely our jam. And so we know how to be efficient. And so we all have to live somewhere. We got to eat. So let's make the best decisions as we go. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and get out there and save some time, especially the things that you don't enjoy doing, so then you can build a big business, but an even bigger life. If you got something out of today's episode, I would love for you to share it. Leave us a 5-star review, because our goal is to impact the world through this podcast. And when you share it, when you leave us that 5-star review, it helps us make a difference with other empire builders across the world. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.